Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Anyone who has had children has asked at one time or another, who does he or she look like? He has his father's eyes. She has her mother's smile. He has his grandpa's nose. Now that would look kind of strange. Over the years, I've been amazed at how our three boys look so different from one another. And I know that you could chuckle at that too, but they certainly do to me. And even more amazed when someone will say about one or the other boys, he looks just like you. I don't see it. A number of years ago, there was a song, a popular song titled Cats in the Cradle. Anybody remember that? Who was the author or the artist? Do you remember? Harry Chapin. Oh, from a millennial. From a Gen Xer, from a Gen Yer, from one of those guys who was much younger than me. Yeah, anyway, that song speaks sort of about this looking like or acting like. Talks about the relationship between a father and a son. And as the boy was growing up, the father was busy with his career. And while the boy learned to walk and talk, the father was busy catching planes and paying bills. And when he was asked to play ball, dad was again too busy. But the constant refrain from the son was one of admiration and love for his father. It's, I'm going to be like you, dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And that's what happened. As the father's life slowed down and he wanted to spend time with his son, the son was too busy. Too busy with friends and wife, family of his own. But it turned out he did become just like his dad. You know, there's no denying that we take on the traits of those we live with, parents, not only in the way they look, but also in our attitudes, behaviors, and habits. Many years ago, I was shocked when, as I said something to one of the boys, I heard my dad's voice come out of my mouth. You ever have that experience? Hopefully not you women. But I think we all tend to inevitably, we all seem to inevitably find ourselves acting or reacting like our parents did. And in essence, that's what John says in our epistle reading today. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we all know that when he appears, we shall all be like him because we shall see him as he is. This letter written by John toward the end of his life has been called a loving and anxious sermon written by a pastor who loved his people. It was most likely written to be circulated among the churches in which John had been a pastor and father of the faith. And as he writes to his beloved Christian children in the faith, he admonishes and encourages them, warns them of false teachers who were in their midst, and urges them to live lives of love and service. And he does this by reminding them of who they are. They are God's children. Tradition tells us that John was the last of the surviving apostles, the only one of the 12 who died a natural death. And this letter was probably written sometime toward the end of the first century, about 60 or 70 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. But already among the second and third generation of disciples, a dangerous attitude seemed to be developing. Now, the danger of which John warns wasn't primarily a danger from without. There's no talk of imminent persecutions from the Roman government or anything like that. Rather, the danger appears to be one from within. The people of God were becoming lax and weary in their lives of discipleship. John reminds us earlier in that letter that God's people are called to be holy. To be holy means, among other things, to be different, to be set apart. The temple was holy because it was different from all other buildings. It was set apart for the purposes of God. The Sabbath day was holy because it was different, given by God as a day of rest and a time to reflect on His great love and mercy. The Jewish nation in the Old Testament was holy because God had revealed His will and the fact that He would send a Messiah for all people to them alone. And Christ's body, the church, is holy, set apart, and given the purpose of revealing God's love in Christ to the world. And the key to this mission task is exemplifying God's love by living lives that reflect love for God and love for one another out of obedience to God's will. But this holiness of life requires some effort. And already in John's day, the believers were growing tired, even negligent. The peril that the church faced and to which John speaks was marked by a forgetting of who and whose they are. Day-to-day life was causing them to forget that they were a unique people with a unique purpose. The more I read God's word, the more incredible it becomes. That letter could have been written to the church today. In fact, that letter was written to the church today, because the problems that the church faced in John's day have been faced by God's people of every generation. It's all too easy to grow weary and tired of the calling to be salt and light to the world around us. It's difficult in the face of the temptations of our day and the duties of activities of everyday life to remember the higher calling that we have as God's children. And the answer for us is the same as it was for those in John's day. And we find it in what John wrote to his beloved children in the faith. He begins by reminding us of who we really are. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And so we are. Present tense, right now, children of God. You are His children. Not by natural birth, but by rebirth through water and the Word. Born as sinners into a sinful world, we were enemies of God, blind to His love and deaf to His will. But by His grace, He made you His, gave you life, and opened your ears to hear His voice. There are two images used in the Bible which speak about God's claim on us. The first is that we are by virtue of the fact that we are His, by virtue of the fact that we were created by Him. Because He is our Creator, we owe Him our devotion, our obedience. But as sinful people, we see this as a burden. Sin turns us in on ourselves and away from God. When Adam and Eve listened to the lies and the deception of the devil, they turned from their Creator in the mistaken belief that they could have more by doing it on their own. And people have been doing the same ever since. You know, the really incredible thing is that in trying to become like God, the devil's lie to Eve, we have become less and less like Him. And that's true. That's the true deathly illness which plagues everybody today. People want to be God. Many years ago, at the height of what was called the New Age movement, that phrase actually came up in the Bible study this morning, in what was called the New Age movement, Shirley MacLaine said something that was rather astounding. I don't know if you remember her saying this. She said, "I am God." I think today few people would be so bold as to say, "I am God," but wanting to be God still plagues us. And that's reflected by the attitude which declares, "I'm going to do my own thing, and I really don't give a damn what God says." When we make ourselves the final authority in our lives, God becomes irrelevant. Satan's lie continues to echo as the world tells us to be like God by pushing Him out of our lives, charting our own path, making our decisions without him. But that leads only to failure and pain. But it's in the second image that God uses in Scripture for his claim on us that brings an end to all of that. And that's the image of adoption. We are God's children because he has chosen us to be his children. He reached out and made us his children solely by his mercy and grace. And he paid the fee of our adoption with his son's death on the cross and makes us own a second time now. Not just created, but now adopted as his own. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. That's the promise that God gives to you and me, his adopted children. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be equal to him in power and glory. It doesn't mean that if we work hard enough, we'll be some sort of deity. What it means is that we will be like God in holiness, purity, righteousness. We will finally be perfect, without sin. It means that someday we will experience the eternal life which is our inheritance by faith. But this isn't only something that happens someday way down the road. John reminds us who we are so that we'll begin to see the results even now. A seminary professor said that he had a student who preached his first sermon in class. They make us do that kind of stuff, get up in front of people and do that kind of stuff. So I guess we're going to do that one of these days, But as this seminary student stood up there and began delivering his sermon, he adopted kind of an awkward position with one shoulder a little higher than the other. And it turned out that the student's pastor had been injured before in an accident. And his injury made him stand in a strange position as he preached. And the student apparently so admired this man, he unconsciously imitated him. Even his handicap. In the same way, as we see our true Father in his word and watch him ever closer, we will unconsciously begin to imitate him in our actions, in our words, even in our thoughts. As we live ever closer to our Heavenly Father, we will find our lives conforming more and more to his will for our life. Now, of course, this will never be complete in this life, but it will begin to happen even now. There was a father and his young son who were walking down the street in Chicago past a place where they were building a skyscraper. And they were looking at it, and they saw men at work high up in the building, up on the building. And his son said, "Dad, what are those little boys doing up there?" And his father said, "Those aren't little boys, they're grown men." "But why do they look so small?" "Well, because they're so high." And after a pause, the boy asked, "If they're so small now, that high up, when they get to heaven, there won't be anything left of them, will there?" You know, that's actually more true than it seems at first. The nearer we come to Christ, the less others see of us, and the more they see him. Because we are his children, God promises to make us like himself. And as this becomes more evident in our lives, others will notice. Just as we tend to take on the characteristics of our earthly fathers, so too we will take on the characteristics of our Father in heaven. Human parents, sad to say, often fall short of even their own expectations. I think we're often like that man who shouted once during an argument, "I'm a model father!" His wife replied, "Yes, dear," and the dictionary defines a model as a small imitation of the real thing. But you see, God is the real thing. He's the real thing. And we are too. We've been claimed by him, baptized, adopted into his family. And that song which I referred to earlier about the man and his son expresses a profound truth. We do become like those we observe. And as God's children, walking that daily walk of faith, we can say with certainty to our Heavenly Father, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. Amen.